So may it please the Lord to open up his word to us, his word, hallelujah, and that we will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today, hallelujah. Very conscious, it's not my words that you need to take hold of, it is the word of the Lord, hallelujah. But as we expound it, Lord, please give us open hearts to receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If we turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, firstly, and then we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." This morning, the life of God has been here because many of you have that abundant life. One of the prayers that was uttered this morning was, "O God, may your joy fill this place." If we are the people of God, if we've been rescued from bondage, rescued from our sin, rescued from all of our past, those things which we're ashamed of, and God has given us his forgiveness, he has reconciled us, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ, there should be joy. Whatever else may be going on, we should be a joyful people. Can you remember last Sunday's service was about praise? Praise, not manipulating God to work, but God inhabits the praises of his people. Have you been praising God this week? Have you been praising God? Even when you've not been able to see the way through, even when it's been cloud rather than sunshine, have you praised God? Lord, you're going to bring me through this. The opening reading this morning was about going through the waters. They will not overflow. God's arms are underneath his people. There's things he's teaching us, even through the storms of life, so that we will respond in a godly way, and the Holy Spirit will sanctify things to us so that we bear fruit. Have you been thanking God, or have you been a complaining people? Your colleagues at work this week, what have they seen in you? A complainer? A moaner? Moaning about the weather? Moaning about this, that and the other? Or have they seen somebody who's actually got the joy of the Lord inside them and giving thanks to God? Have you been a thankful people? Have I been a thankful person? If you're a moaner, if that's a habit with you, if you are continually looking, as it were, the glass half full, rather than who you are in Christ and what Christ means to you and what Christ can do, then that habit will take a stronger hold on you. The enemy's winning. You need to humble yourself before the Lord. Bow before him. You are different from your colleagues who are still in darkness. Their ways, unless they repent, will end in death. You will end in life because God has given you eternal life. Hallelujah. So why are you moaning, complaining? The first thing some of you say to me is you're moaning. You're moaning about the weather. You're moaning about this, that and the other. That should be banished from our vocabulary. Yes, as we heard from the Lord this morning, when you've got challenges in your life, when you've got something that is almost overwhelming you, find a brother, find a sister, find a person of faith. Don't find somebody who is full of doubt and confusion. Find somebody who knows their God and ask them, "Hey, this is what's happening. Pray for me." And that person will say, "We'll pray what God's going to do." There may be some teaching in the process, but when you unite with somebody of faith, you're a man, a boy, find another man, girl, find another sister, one of faith, see what God will do. And they will stand with you. They won't condemn you. They won't push you further into the mire. They'll say, "There is a way, because it's nothing too hard, nothing too difficult for our God. He will strengthen you. He'll bring you through." Let the habit come to you. Ask God to renew your mind. Renew your mind in the Word of God, in the Holy Spirit, that you become a person of thankfulness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. In all the circumstances, give thanks. If you're a moaner, your problems will increase. There'll be no way out. But hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Take for the example of the Apostle Paul. Praise the Lord's name that we have the example of the Apostle Paul. Despite everything crushing him down, he could still say, in Christ I live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he knew the end story. He knew that because he was a child of God, it would end in life, not death. Hallelujah. The eternal perspective. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Listen to the word of God. God may have used Solomon to pen this, but it's the word of God. Verse 1. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of the king's face is life, and his favour is like the cloud of the latter rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright is depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. The person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He winks his eye to devise perverse things. He pursues his lips and brings about evil. The silver-haired man is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but his every decision is from the Lord. So again, you have in verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. In the classic book, Alice in Wonderland. Alice comes to a junction in the road that leads off into several different directions, and she does not know which path to go. So she asks Cheshire the Cat. She asks him for advice. "Would you tell me, please," she asks, "which way should I go from here?" And Cheshire Cat replies, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." "I don't care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. Friends, if you don't want to go anywhere particular, then any road will do. If I want to go somewhere in particular, if I've got a destination in mind I need to get to, I prepare myself that I am going on the right road. I've caught the right train. It becomes very important to me. There is a way that seems good to a man, right to a man, but the result is death. When it comes to religion, many people will tell you that any old road will do for you to find God. In fact, there is a Hindu saying that goes something like this. They say there are hundreds of paths up the mountain, all leading in the same direction. So it doesn't matter really which path you take. They say the only one who's wasting their time is the one who runs round and round the mountain telling everyone else that their path is wrong. In other words, Hindus believe it doesn't matter really which path you take, as long as it doesn't involve telling others that they may be on the wrong path. Just let them be. So, as long as you're not hurting anybody, everything is fine. So, today, no absolutes, no right or wrong, no boundaries. As the Bible says, everyone is doing what they think is right, what's right in their own eyes. Because after all, there's no one ultimately to judge us. There's no one ultimately to judge us, because we've done away with God, haven't we? No creator, no God, so no judge. But by contrast, the Bible has always maintained that the mindset which I've just described and what Proverbs talks about is totally wrong-headed, is foolish, will lead to death. Repeatedly, Solomon in the book of Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right to a man. What is the result? Death. Death. Banishment. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, their ways are death. There's a way that seems right to a man. On my day off on Thursday, I was with my brother David, and we were relaxing in the Old Ship Inn, little hotel on the front at Brighton, having a cup of tea, enjoying ourselves. And there was the, not this one, but there was the I newspaper there, and I was just flicking through it. And I start reading about the Brighton College in Brighton. And then in yesterday's Independent. This is a private school, Brighton College. One of Brighton, you'll have read this, some of you have seen it on the news. One of Britain's leading independent schools. On the first day of this term, the head teacher, Richard Cairns, made an unexpected announcement. There would no longer be a girl's uniform and a boy's uniform. Instead, there would be a trouser uniform and a skirt uniform. Transgender pupils or children with gender dysphoria were free to wear whichever they chose, which one pupil promptly did. And this man has been congratulated by many heads and deputy heads. Perverse thoughts, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end results are death. Oh, next page. We are the church's new normal, says first female bishop. First female. It's now normal. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it will result in death, his thinking. Friends, we're going to read a little passage from Romans chapter 1 in a moment. But the God of this age has blinded the people out there. And some within our own families, our neighbours, our colleagues and so on. Even the children that your children are going to school with, they're in darkness, blind. God is calling us to be people of his word, to be radically different, to train up our children in the right biblical ways. Please, parents, don't leave it just to the establishment. Please. Train them, teach them, husbands, men, take your responsibilities seriously about bringing your children up well. Teaching them that evolution is a false humanistic, ungodly philosophy. Teach them the word of God. Teach them that God has created man, he's created female. Hallelujah. Teach them these things. Teach them. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them to pray. Teach them to call upon the name of the Lord. Teach them to expect great things from God, that they will be able to withstand peer pressure. Parents, don't leave it to the Sunday school. Teach your children at home. Worship the Lord at home. Prepare them for the days that are coming ahead, and they will stand strong. God will be with them. God will protect them. God will deliver them. They will be princes, priests, princesses for Jesus Christ. And you stay firm in the word of God. I got back home on Thursday, fairly late, and one program I just do not watch because it always winds me up, depresses me. I want to throw things at the TV on a Thursday night. Anyone guess what that program is? Question Time. I can't watch it because it just... It's a biased audience anyway, but I... just turned it on. I flicked through to see if it was the news, but it was after the news. It was Question Time. And I think it was coming from Northern Ireland. Did anyone watch it? On house? I think it was coming from Northern Ireland. Okay. And the question from the audience, the first question I heard from the member of the audience was about, hey, look, why are we so backward over here? Why are we so far behind the times? Everyone else has embraced same-sex marriage. We haven't. And the applause went on from all the audience for a good minute. Rapturous applause. So the presenter says, well, I don't think we need to discuss this because we've got, you know, you're all agreed, basically. And the first member of the panel started, you know, coming out with the stuff, you know, how, you know, we've got to move with the times and this is acceptable. Why are we holding back and so on and so forth? I then switched it off. Of course, I get to bed and I thought, if I was on the panel, what would I have said? Would I have had the guts? Do you know what I mean? And I would like to think that I would have done, but I know I'd have been shouted down. So were you. If you talk to some people who are still... can we have the verse on 25, please, rather than that? Verse 25. Can we have our text on, please? The perverse mind is, you know, friends, if your friends, if your family are still in darkness, their mind in this generation is becoming more and more twisted and away from God. It's why we're having all of these wrong laws being passed, because they're not godly. The people who are passing them, they think there's no right, there's no wrong, we want freedom. This is the way to express ourselves and get on in life. And with that comes corruption and so many other things. But child of God, you're different. Hallelujah. Not because what you've done, not because what I've done, our righteousness is as stinks as much as anybody else's. But because of God's mercy, he has saved us, and he saved us to be a different people. You know, holiness, friends, what is holiness? He wants you, he wants me to be a holy, holy, holy person. He wants our children to grow up in a holy environment. What is holiness? It's being separated from something to be separated unto God, because God has separated himself from all wickedness and vileness, and he separated himself to his family. Hallelujah, you and me. The Ofsted chief inspector, I'm not depressed, I'm just telling you this is real life and we've got to wake up. The Bible says, hey, child of God, hey, child of God, it's time to be awake, not time to sleep. It's time to be alert. Hallelujah. Alert so that we can pray into situations. Praise be to the Lord. Alert so that we don't go with the crowd. I said a couple of weeks ago, hey, friends, it's easy. A dead fish just swims down the river with the tide. But if you're going to make a difference in your family, if you're going to make a difference in this community, if you're going to stand for the righteousness of God at many times, like the persecuted believers of today, you're going to be swimming against the tide. It's hard work, but the good thing is, God is pushing you. God is with you. God is leading you. God's arms are underneath you. You're not alone. And you've got a family of people with you as well. It's time to make a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Ofsted inspector, chief Ofsted inspector this week, has said that, you know, the government and Nicky Morgan and other people are wanting to bring in greater inspection of what schools are teaching and so on, faith groups, Sunday schools and so on. And he has admitted that he wants Sunday schools to be inspected for what they're teaching. Let's not be intimidated. This is the way of the world. Do you know, it tells me that the end is soon coming and the enemy's having a real big fling. It'll depress many, but I don't want any of us to be depressed. I've got teachers here who are in the classroom. They know what's going on. They know they're being bombarded. The schools are being bombarded with ungodly, unrighteous stuff. I thank God for those who are in the classroom. I thank God for our Christian children. They can still make a difference. The ways of man, perverse ways of man, whose thinking has not been sanctified, will end in death. What an opportunity God is giving to us to make a difference, to rise up, to be men and women of faith. But you know, friends, we've got to know this word. We've got to know, we've got to love this Bible. I said yesterday that, you know, we can, thank you, Mark, we enjoy food. We're so blessed. Our appetites are satisfied. The greatest thing of all is to nourish our souls. Nourish the inner man with the word of God. Hallelujah. Can I just, parents, please bear with me. You have an awesome responsibility, but what a great responsibility. And God wants you to be blessed, both in your relationship with each other and with your children. One of the, I believe, deviant ways that the spirit of the world, the ways that end in death, has got into families is that our children, and they may only be 3, 4, 5, are now our friends. They're just friends. They're our friends. They're friends. They're buddies with us. I've got one or two teachers at the school I go to who say periodically, says, can't believe it. the negotiations that go on preschool with the child, and they have their way. You're going around the supermarket, three-year-olds with their dirty feet in the trolley, or whatever. Mum or dad having a discussion with you. Oh, what would you like for supper today? What would you like for dinner today? Blah, 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 blah. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. Oh, will you have that? What's gone wrong? Who's in charge? Children desperately need mums to be mums and dads to be dads. Not friends. They're not our enemies, but do you see what I mean? They're not our buddies. And obviously as the relationship grows, as the children grow older, we hope that they will, and they'll be able to confide in us and all sorts of things. You know, we are the parent. But little children, they don't rule the house. If they're ruling you in any way, you've lost it. You need to repent to the Lord, and God will restore what a true mum, what a true dad should be. Children do not dictate to the parents. They honour their parents, and it will go well with them. Don't take your cue from the world. Their ways lead to death. Bring your children into life. Hallelujah. Bring your family, bring your relationships into life. It's pleasing to the Lord. You'll make mistakes. I've made mistakes. I've had regrets. But thank you for the blood of Jesus. And thank you that we can say, forgive me, to our children at times when we've got it wrong. That's not wrong. Being sorry. But friends, there is a cultural war. There's a tension that is going on in society. Let me ask you, because I think, you know, friends, and I know other teachers like Philip and Colin and Mark and so on, and some of you really agree with this, that although things are going to get, as my grandmother would say, worser and worser in the world, you know, and in society, the true church, the true remnant, is going to be revived. I really believe this. And I think God's going to open up the heavens. I think we're going to see revival. It's not all doom. The people who love their Lord and who are seeking to follow him wholeheartedly and turning their backs on the ways of the world, which are ending in death, and being an alternative community. Church has got to be, you know, friends, the world has got into the church. Church needs to get into the world. Hallelujah. We can make a difference. I see revival. I see marriages being blessed. I see children growing up. Hallelujah. Strong, doing exploits for Jesus, because God is merciful and gracious. So it's not all doom and gloom. But there's, at the present time, a big cultural battle going on. Let me ask you. This could be a hands-up time. Let me ask you, in the last 12 months, because there is a tension between the various, between culture and ethics and biblical Christianity. How many of you in here, in this room, in the last 12 months, okay, say in the last year, heard on a radio talk show, saw on television, read a newspaper or some other form of media, a negative statement, an assault, an attack on the ethics derived from Hinduism? How many? How many of you have seen an attack on your regard on the media? In the media, hands up. Any? I see no hands. How many of you in this room have seen on television in the last 12 months, heard on the radio, read in newsprint, got into conversations on the ethics that have been derived, for example, from Buddhism? How many of you have seen that questioned in mainstream, the ethics that have been, that are derived from Buddhism? Or what about, no, you, okay. What about New Age morality? There's one amongst many. What about New Age morality? New Age stuff. How many of you have, in mainstream media, print, television, internet, and I'm not talking about the Christian programs, But the secular have seen presenters, interviewers, really question the ethics of New Age. Have you? No, yeah, I understand that. But people who are prepared to confront the people who are promoting New Age thinking, New Age philosophy, mysticism, and all this sort of thing, are they being confronted by presenters? I don't see that. I don't see New Age being blamed for the perils that we're in. Do you? I don't. I don't see New Age, Buddhism, obviously Islam, that's slightly different, although, again, most people are blinded to what Islam is about and what it seeks to do and control and to dominate and to bring people down to hell. But biblical Christianity, you dare quote the Bible. You dare quote, well, God has said this. And you'll be laughed out of school. But there's no reason why we shouldn't quote the word of God. Hallelujah. It's no reason to hide our light. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, hey, believer, don't hide your light away. Don't shove it away so nobody can see it. You're the salt of the earth. It means you can make a difference. You know, in the olden days, my dear mother, some of you may still do it, but when you didn't have freezers and you didn't get beans from Egypt and all that sort of thing during the closed season, we'd pick all the runner beans and put them in kilner jars and put loads of salt and I don't know what else in, but to preserve them so that in a couple of months' time, in the winter months, we could have green beans. I can't remember what my... Salt preserves. Salt protects. What are you doing? What am I doing? Hey, hallelujah. We're the salt, we're the light. Hallelujah. God has called us for this day. For such a day as this we've been called. We've got to be aware of what's going on, friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I will tell you, in the last 30 days, forget 12 months, in the last 30 days, you will have read an assault on Christianity. You will have heard a radio talk show belittling the Christian worldview. You will have seen on TV new slanted reports and so on. You will have observed on sitcoms subtle and not so subtle put downs of the Christian ethics and Christianity. Why Christianity? Why not Hinduism? Why not Buddhism? Why not New Age morality? The issue is not religion. If it were religion, then there would be a problem with each of these. There seems to be a problem with the present ethic of Christianity today. Why is that? Because it's true. Christianity has biblical values. It has God, the supreme God. It's biblical values that will challenge culture. The notion that, well, it's hurting no one, so it doesn't matter, they can do their thing, I'll do mine. It runs contrary to biblical values. The scripture says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end result is death. Christianity says there is one who is sovereign, who is in control, creator and judge. We're accountable to God. We're accountable to God. The way we choose, what we believe, we'll be accountable to God. Buddhism, Hinduism has hundreds of thousands of gods. Sometimes they add Jesus to them as another god. Islam doesn't have a living God. We have a living God. But one, we will be accountable one day. And that flies into the face. That's why we're under attack, under the cosh. That's why, even in the Word of God. Jesus says, you know, okay, when your neighbour, when the religious people, when the council, when the school, when your employer says, okay, I like you as a person, but what you stand for, your values, your beliefs, terrible. And you can't say to me or to any of my colleagues that there's only one way to God. Of course there isn't. There's many ways. Many paths all leading to one God. We can't have you say that. Church, we can't have you say that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't say that. He's one of many ways. You can't say that. You're in the street corner, and you get involved in the streets, in the town centre, neighbours, colleagues, family, and the subject comes up about same-sex marriage, and you tell you what the biblical view is on it. Can't say that. Oh, somebody hears you say it, takes you to court. Your employer takes you to court. Do you know what the word suggests? Don't worry, okay? Because when you get there, I'm going to tell you what to say. And that's why people who are, thank God, you know, we were praying, and Philip brought it to our notice about John McConnell, wasn't it, a few weeks back, and he's been vindicated in Ireland. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. But I will give you what to say, but hey, we've got to know this first. That's why in Connect Groups, we're memorizing verses. I hope you're doing it. I hope I'm doing it. Many are following a false light and are being led astray, and they're going headlong into destruction. I said we'd read from Romans, and I'm just going to conclude with that. Romans chapter 1. Yes, it's on a verse. You see, we all have a conscience. But most people today, they're going with the crowd. They're being brainwashed. You know, some of our schools, many of our schools are not educating so much now as they're just telling the children what to believe. And if you dare present a biblical argument for why that is wrong, you're called a fundamentalist, a bigot, and you'll be silenced. But we won't be silenced. Our children won't be silenced. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Thank you. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This is really happening in the 21st century. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Gone too far. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end result will be death. Friend, the Apostle Paul in the inspired Word of God says, for such were some of you. Yeah, things have gotten worse, but such were some of you. The unregenerate mind, the unregenerate heart, would be with them. This is God's mercy. Such were some of you. I believe God is calling you and me that we will be used to rescue some from the fire. Jesus noted in John chapter 3 and verse 19, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. One of the memory verses that you have been memorizing, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 verse 23. You know, Jesus isn't any way, he is the way. Hallelujah. He is the truth. He is the life. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Let's follow Christ, the one way. It leads to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's allow him to lead us every day in all of our actions. Let's pray. Lord, I confess that there's some parts of your word which I find difficult. We do find a bit challenging. We do. Sometimes it really comes as a double-edged sword, and if we're honest, perhaps we'd rather it not be there. But we thank you for your word. And we realize, Lord, it's you and your word judges us and not we judge you or judge the word. Pray, O God, that you will help us, each one of us, to walk worthy of the Lord. To walk worthy of that high calling which we've been called. Oh, that we'll be sanctified unto you and to truth, Lord. Love the truth. Love you. Jesus, the one way. I'm following Jesus. Despite what others may say or do. And I recognize, Lord, that each one of us who are saying this to you now need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Lord, we thank you. The disciples recognize their need of you. Peter. Big man. Showed aspects of arrogance, but he failed you. Failed you. Denied you. But how you loved him. And how on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, Peter became a true disciple, a bold, courageous disciple. Thank you, Lord, your Holy Spirit has come. Not to give us goose pimples, but to make us bold, courageous, loyal, stout-hearted, followers of Jesus. Come. Spirit of God, fill me, fill us all right now, so that we don't succumb to the ways of the world that will lead to death, but we'll be among those who will remain faithful to the end. Hallelujah. That's God's will. Fill me, fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please will you help us to love, help me, to love the things that you love and hate the things you hate. If any of us have become a lover of the world and going on the ways of death, we've made ourselves an enemy of the Lord. He's wooing you back. He's wooing me back right now. Spirit of God, fill me. Fill us.